This is a CKTZ News Update. The Cortez Community Forest Cooperative wants help in creating a business roadmap for creating value-added forest products. The organization holds a tenure from the BC Ministry of Forests, covering about 30% of harvestable forests on the island in partnership with the local Clahoose First Nation. They're guided by sustainable harvesting practices, and if more economic activity occurs on Cortez Island, such as creating value-added wood products for local use and export off the island, the quantity of wood cut annually and mandated under the cooperative's tenure can be reduced. President Kerry Saxifrage and Director Sadhu Johnson say there's a multi-decade history leading up to the current initiative.
I'd like to just reach back in history to the 1980s when Raven was logging on Cortez. And at that time, the Cortez Island Forest Committee, which has been reincarnated several times, put forth the idea that we really need to use the forest to build the local economy. So that has been present for 40 years now. It took maybe 30 years to get this tenure with just huge contributions through time and broad across the community to get that tenure, and especially the Clahoose First Nation. All along, it's been a partnership and they've been our allies, and I feel like we have tenure due to their political power. Thank you, Clahoose, again. And so now we've had our community forest since 2013. And this latest effort, the seed was planted 40 years ago. And now we are finally at the place where we are trying to fertilize it to see if it will grow, because it's just such a deep part of the original vision of local control.
And I understand, too, that the tenure covers about 30% of harvestable timber on the island. Is that correct?
We have tenure over 3,800 hectares. I think it's closer to 28%, but it's a huge part of the island. Yeah, and when we originally applied for tenure, we being not myself personally, but the general we tried to get the whole island, and we got 3,870 hectares, which is really great. And this tenure does pertain to our need for a value-added roadmap. At an island-wide meeting, the representatives of the Ministry of Forest came, and they actually said that important to them is the use of the community forest for local economic development. And the pressure comes off the annual allowable cut, which is what they say is our maximum cutting rate. The pressure comes off of that when we have demonstrable local economic development using the community forest wood. So that's really great, because I don't know how many people realize that our current cut rate has averaged about 3,500 cubic meters. That's 25% of our annual allowable cut of 13,600 cubic meters. So we are taking, in the conventional view, a very conserving approach, and we really want to continue with that. And it also bears, that's a partnership matter, but I think that's been the expression of the community over the time. And also we really want to be in a good position in 5 years when the tenure comes up for renewal. We need to start building our case.
So there is obviously some consciousness, or if not pressure, from the Ministry of Forests to up the portion or the quota that you've got right now to get closer to the maximum, or is it subtle, or how is that?
In my time on the partnership, there was one sobering conversation in which the ministry representatives suggested that our land base should be cut to be in proportion to how much we are actually logging. They've said many things over time, and that is one of the things that they have said. And yes, I interpret that as a real pressure, because I don't think it's good for the island if the crown lands get cut up and given to a lot of different entities and we lose. It's a community forest. The co-op has an open membership, $25. lifelong membership, and then the directors appoint or elect the directors to the partnership, which makes the operational decisions. So honestly, when we hold our meetings and I see how few people attend, I'm like, holy moly, this is like a huge land base. We all care so much. Come on, get involved. This is a community forest.
Now, I understand too that up to this point, you're actually harvesting at a lower rate than the growth rate of the forest. Is that due to the wishes of the membership or the public, or is it just about adhering to sustainable forestry practices, or a combination?
I think it's been the will of the community over the decades that we do that. Bruce Ellingson has certainly been the most long-term and eloquent advocate. You could ask him about logging below what's called the mean annual increment, which is the interest that the forest grows every year. If you saw the forest as capital, which is a terrible analogy, but serviceable. And the partnership together with the co-op did a very long modeling exercise. First, we did some ground truthing, and we found that the provincial data, which we all viewed, not we all, some of us viewed with a bit of distrust, was accurate enough. It wasn't wildly off, or it was wildly off here and there, and sometimes it said more wood than there was, and sometimes more trees, and sometimes less trees, but it was rough justice, and so it satisfied us. And then we did modeling about the different harvest rates. For example, the AAC, where you watch the forest volume and age just shrink over time. And then we did 3,500 cubic meters was really a sweet spot where over time the forests are going to get older. And this is all shorthand for a very complicated conversation. Reasonable minds do differ. And personally, I'm really satisfied that we have the data to make informed decisions going forward.
All right. Now, at the moment, even with that very modest harvesting level, it appears that not a lot of the harvested wood is being utilized on Cortez Island and gets shipped off the island as raw logs, as a lot of forestry operations do. What do you think's behind that fairly low utilization?
And this is why we're doing the roadmap. Right? Because CCFC, together with CETA, Manda, Lonnie Taylor, Nick Gagnon, we've presented workshops called Making It on Cortez, and the forestry, the woodworking table has like 30 people who are keen to go. Everybody talks about a lifestyle job, which really allows people to work seasonally or to work in addition to other jobs, such as child rearing. And there's a lot of enthusiasm for it. There's been skills workshops, and there are also some real bottlenecks, and it hasn't taken off to the degree we would like to see, although big shout out Ellingson Woods, Ron Wolda, Henry Verscher, they are doing it. If people can buy their wood from them, we will appreciate that because it really gets us closer to our goals. There's obstacles such as very little to no industrial zoning on the island. There's obstacles with regard to matchmaking people who money to support people who need startup funds. There's just a lot of things, and other communities have been relatively successful doing this, and we want to know what they did so that we can do the same thing as specifically as possible and with as refined information as possible. And honestly, we're a volunteer board, and we need to hire people who have the big picture and can really dig in, talk to community members, and do this work. And I also just want to say that in my point of view, every single tree that comes down on Cortez is a sacrifice. And if we can make the most out of every single tree, then we are doing the right thing, because it's going to help us build our case for less logging in the future. And also, there's the whole other than human community that we want to support. I don't know that we'll ever be able to not sell logs off island. Like 35,000 cubic meters is a lot of wood, but we can certainly do a lot more.
We recognize that we have people on the island that need jobs, and the forest is a great economic development opportunity. And then that can be in the road building, it can be in the actual cutting of the lumber, and obviously it can be in using that lumber on island to make products that can be exported, or to make products that can be used on island. And as you've said, we would like to see more jobs created on the island utilizing the local wood. And so this roadmap is really a chance for us to understand what those gaps are. Why aren't more people using wood here? And what the opportunities for investment might be. for us as a co-op, for CETA, for other organizations to help create more jobs with the activity that is on the island here. And so we are really fortunate that the ISET, it's called, the Island Community Economic Trust, is helping to fund this study. So they're putting in 50% of the money to pursue this roadmap. So that's really great to have a resource like that to help us. And we're hoping over the next number of months as we develop this strategy that we'll have a chance to interview people that either are using local wood or aren't using local wood to understand why. If a builder is not using local wood, what are the reasons? Or a carpenter, woodworker. And then to look at investment opportunities for the decade ahead. This isn't a short-term thing. It's really to understand over the next decade or two, how do we grow the value-added sector here on Cortez? Maybe, as Carrie was saying, there aren't opportunities to use it all here, but maybe there are opportunities to create products that could be used elsewhere. And then there are more jobs created here with that wood.
Yeah. Do you think there's anything to do with the potential that a sad irony is that unfortunately, cost of milling and cutting dimensional lumber here and what it ends up having to be sold at is higher than where people can get it from big box stores and so forth.
I think that is an educational / marketing opportunity, because I think that people, especially on Cortez, more and more feel like they want to see their personal impacts on the earth and maybe not participate in the consumer stream that is just like driving the earth into the ground. Is that a good metaphor? But if we can, not everybody can, should, will, but those who want to, if they can use local products as much as possible, I think that there's a lot to be said for just really knowing what your impacts are. And I also think that this roadmap is going to hopefully smooth out some of those issues that you're referring to, because there are real reasons why people don't do it now, and we don't fully know what to do about them, and it's so important that we do. And another angle on that, in my view, as a person who reads a lot about climate change, is that we want to more and more be able to take care of our own needs. We use a lot of wood. We cut trees. Can we close that loop to some degree, just as a matter of resilience for our community?
Yeah, and do either of you have a sense of what happens to those raw logs once they're shipped off of Cortez, where they're going and what they're being used for?
Yeah. Mark Lombard says that they are mostly sold to a plywood mill in Nanaimo, and he's very committed to keeping wood as close to home as possible also.
What is the cost of the roadmap? You said you were getting help with 50% of the funding.
The overall project cost is $40,000, and we're receiving a grant of $20,000 from ISET.
And you have a pretty close turnaround in terms of time for proposals, I believe November 10th, and it was just posted, I believe, on the 29th. That's pretty quick. I guess you're really wanting this to get happening as soon as possible.
Yeah, we recognize that we've all been talking about value-added products for a really long time. And we've seen in other communities that good things have happened as they've made investments and had an understanding of how to proceed. So we're looking forward to making that happen. It'll probably be throughout 2023 that we'll be developing the roadmap and be looking for folks that are involved in this space to be interviewed, to come participate in meetings, to talk about what they see as some of the gaps and barriers. And so we're really hoping to involve members of the community that are interested in this topic to help influence it.
Okay. And do you have a sense of when you'll be able to make a decision on the proposals you receive?
We're looking to throughout November to get the, as you've indicated, to get the proposals, to review them, and hopefully before the end of the year we'll make a decision and have a consultant on the ground starting to work.
Final question. What's the response been so far since you just put this out most recently?
We're posting it all over, and we're definitely getting interesting emails from people that are seeing it with ideas for things that they've seen work in their own community and ideas for things we can pursue. So at this point, we're waiting to see how many proposals we get. But as you've indicated, once a potential contractor sees the proposal, they got to put together a team and write up a proposal and get it back to us, put a budget on it and stuff like that. So we haven't gotten any written proposals yet.
All right. Sadhu Johnson and Carrie Saxifrage, a pleasure speaking with you. And thanks so much for speaking with ATZ News.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Sadhu and to Kate Madigan, who have done a lot of work to bring this home. Deep appreciation.
Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.